As I was seeking before the Lord what He wanted me to share this morning, the Lord reminds me of a message that I gave a few years ago, and He keep on putting that in my heart, and I feel that I need to share this, not only for your sake, but also for my own sake. The two songs that we just sang about the Lord Jesus being our very best friend. And let me ask you this question. I mean, if you're a Christian, then you will say, yes, the Lord Jesus is indeed our very best friend. But who do you name as your closest friend other than the Lord Jesus? Who would you name as your closest friend other than the Lord Jesus? You can think about it a bit. And believe it or not, this very question is a matter of great concern to the Lord. Because your friend, your friendship, speak loudly both to God and to the world about the condition of your heart or your spiritual condition. Okay, and actually, have you ever prayed to the Lord saying that, Lord, what do you think of my friendship? You know, those people that I have interaction with, are they pleasing to you or do they displease you? In fact, a righteous friend can provide a link for you for God's blessings or bring you into the favor of God, because he will encourage you toward a godly lifestyle. And on the other hand, an ungodly friend can be a binding chain to every kind of evil, leading you to terrible bondage. I'm glad that this morning we have quite a number of young people in here. I think maybe that's the reason why the Lord laid this burden on me, and I couldn't shake it off. And I want to say it again, this is also for myself, okay? And by the way, my definition of a friend here is someone whom you closely associated with, okay? Those people whom you hang out quite often, okay, and those people who you naturally confide with, okay, and so those are it is those friends with whom you walk and you talk and you bear your soul, okay. I would want to add, because we're in the 21st century, that also include those contact through the net, through chat room, you know, those invisible friends, okay, but they are friends that sometimes could even be closer to a physical friend these days. So think in along that line, and not just a physical body there, okay. Those people whom, as soon as you get back from school or from work, you turn on your computer, and then you want to see if your friend is on the computer, if you receive emails from them, okay, those friends that are so close to you, okay. Now, of course, there are various circles of friends that we have. Today, we have like our schoolmate, or in our business circle, we have a coworker, we have partners, we have clients, and we also have a social circle. Those people whom we sort of deal with on a very superficial level, okay? And in fact, it is impossible for Christians not to have any friend. We cannot avoid to have all kinds of friends, different contexts of friends, because if without those friends, we will have to leave the world altogether. So we do have friends, and there's nothing wrong to have friends, okay? And yet, it is the circle of friends God cared about, is those intimate friends, those intimate circle. In other words, your bosom pal, okay? Those people whom you love most, those people whom have a great influence in your life, okay? Those people you would agree with things, on most things at least, okay? That you feel safe to open your heart to each other, and those friends who you would align with, okay? Align with. Now, our hearts constantly sending out signals, messages to attract others to us. I remember a few years ago when our nephew came to us. He lived with us for, I think, a year or so. And because he came over to attend the high school, okay? Before school start, I gave him a little talk. I asked him, I said, look, I mean, you're joining a new school. You're going to meet with new friends. Be careful with what kind of friends you are going to end up with as sort of your buddies. And the unfortunate thing was that after a few months, we noticed, yeah, he made some friends, some very close friends. In fact, he was on the phone a lot of the time after school. But we find out that those friends that he made were not the desirable ones, okay? The ones that would take drugs, the ones that would skip school. And I asked myself, I talked to this nephew, you know, I think he was, about 16, 17 years old. I talked to him in advance to avoid those friends who smoke, to avoid those friends who have no respect for schools, okay? And yet somehow he was attracted to those people. And I come to think about it, it has something to do with the way he carried himself, okay? I mean, the way he dressed, the way he talked, the way he dyed his hair a little color here, a little color there. It sort of sent out signals, okay, to those other people who are of the same kind. And then they said, well, yeah, you know, this is the kind of people that I would like to hang out with because they are cool, okay? I mean, young people, you know what I'm talking about here, okay? But you know that for Christian, we should have a different kind of friends. Think about Daniel. Daniel has three best friends. Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach. Remember? They're best friends. They gang together, and their purpose is to live out the life of God and be a good testimony, even in the kingdom of Babylon. Okay? So, and as a result of them being in the same group that fear the Lord, so all four of them, when they went through the examination by the king's council, that they find that these peoples are outstanding young people, okay? And remember the friendship between David and who? Jonathan, right? I mean, their hearts, they knit together. They are best friends because they have the heart for God, okay? But you see, today, there is a little scheme from the devil, okay? And we should not be ignorant to his scheme. And that is, the devils would like to attack us by implanting his agent, a bad friend, an ungodly friend, into the inner circle of our life. Okay, and the mission is to destroy us. Especially Satan used the ploy on those Christians who are sort of kind-hearted. Okay, those who are undiscerning, those people, those Christians who are a bit lonely. He tried to turn an undiscerning Christian's kindness into alliance with the evil spirit, with the ungodly friend. Okay, now let me show you from the Bible an example of how a godly man joined in alliance with an ungodly friend. Let us turn to Second Chronicles. Chapter 17. This is the story about Jehoshaphat. Chapter 17, Mel, you have your voice back? Okay, let us read 17 verse 3, 10 to 12. Verse 3 and then 10 to 12. Okay, so you can see that Jehoshaphat was a good king. And he feared the Lord. He walked in the way of the Lord, and the Lord prospered him. And his nation became very, very powerful. Now, let us jump to chapter 18. Chapter 18, we'll read from verse 1 to 9. And since Michelle is in our midst, can you read it out loud for us, please? 1 to 9. Okay, thank you. And then let us, Titus to read verse 15, 16, and then 29 and 31 of the same chapter, please.
So to King Sexton, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, a sheep that hath no shepherd, and the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. Verse 29. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle. And you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Verse 31. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore he surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him.
Okay, thank you. And then let us go to chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Can I ask David Penn to read it out loud and slowly for us, please?
Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord will be upon
them. Okay, can you read one more verse for me, please? And that's chapter 20, verse 1. Okay, thank you. Now in here, King Jehoshaphat was a righteous man, as we said, who ruled over Judah when the kingdom of Israel was divided. And this man, his heart, he was for God, okay? And he was blessed and honored in all things in his generation, as it is said in chapter 17, that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the ways of his father David. Okay? And yet, in chapter 18, verse 1, the interesting thing is that Jehoshaphat, verse 1, joined in affinity with evil King Ahab, okay, who ruled the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Okay? And yet he joined affinity with Ahab. The Bible says that Ahab, this king Ahab, did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel that is before him. Okay. Now you may wonder, you may ask this question: how could a righteous king like Jehoshaphat end up joining in unions or in alliance with such an ungodly man? How could that happen? Now, someone will say, well, you know, this is usual stuff because they are two different kingdoms, so there is the political unions, okay? You send your son to marry my daughter and vice versa, to sort of join the two kingdoms together. In order to strengthen your own self, to strengthen yourself, you know, and you need connection, you need people to be on your side. So you sort of have this kind of internation marriages, okay? But if, as we have said before, if you take a look at Daniel and his three friends, okay, they were in a foreign land, they were all by themselves, and yet they did not bow down to the idol. They did not sort of try to make allies with the people of that land. Okay, and yet they prosper, as we can read from the Bible. And many a time, you see, I mean, today for us, we may end up doing similar things. We try to have some political unions with those that are not of our same kind. The reason why I say this is give you an example. Our company has been sold for a few times already. And every time when our company is sold, guess what? All of my connections are cut off. And then we end up having, or I end up having to reestablish my new connection, okay? Or at least many of my coworkers, they wanted to do that, to make sure that they're still in the protected position and so on and so forth for their own reason. Okay, but I feel that I cannot go along, especially every time when they have some company event and whatnot, the way that they go and drink and all of those things, I just simply find that I cannot put myself in that kind of a unions with them, okay? So usually what I would say to them is, after the company meeting and whatnot, is, well, you guys go to the bar, you do whatever you want to do, but, you know, I would go to my hotel room and rest, okay? A lot of my coworkers, they think that this guy is dumb, you know. This is a new company. You need to set up new connection. This is the time you need to make friends. And you try to single yourself. You try to stay in your own room and have rest. I mean, are you nuts? This is the time to build up network, to have connectivity. But the interesting thing is, as I have said, our company changed hands several times. and I'm still around. Okay? And all, and quite a number of those friends who try to build up connectivities, build up good network, quite a number of them, they're not there anymore. So the point that I'm trying to make is this. There are times when we are being forced in a situation seemingly that we need to go out and reach out to those people who are ungodly. And there is this temptation that we may lower our own self. We may lower our own conviction to sort of try to be in alliance with them. And that's not going to stand well with God. And as we will see later on, that is the case. Okay? And what happening here is that Jehoshaphat, at that time, he, as we have said, he was a good king. Okay, he has purged the land, driving out all the idols of Baal, the idol, and slaying the false prophet. Okay, and we know that Ahab's wife is called Jezebel. Okay, and she is an idol worshiper. She is a Baal worshiper. She knew what Jehoshaphat has done to her idols, and she set her sight to bring down this godly man. Now, that's the scheme of the devil, okay? And the scheme was this. Jezebel devised a plot with her wicked daughter, and her daughter's name is Athaliah, okay, to infiltrate Jehoshaphat's godly house, okay? How did she do that? You know, the young Athaliah met with Jehoshaphat's son called Jehoram, okay? And she used all her charms to win his heart. Now, the plan actually worked. Jehoram decided to marry Athaliah, and he went to his father Jehoshaphat to ask for his blessing. And guess what? Foolishly, Jehoshaphat granted. Now, the word affinity in here, it means to join together in marriage, okay? Join by marriage, okay? Jehoshaphat, now, because he has a daughter-in-law who is actually an idol worshiper, now has come into the inner circle of his life. Not only that, now Ahab is sort of his in-law that they now have constant contact with, okay? And as a result of this union with an ungodly friend, a union and having an ungodly daughter-in-law, we know that later on history told us that when Jehoshaphat died, Jehoram, his son, actually took the throne, and it was then under the influence of Jezebel, because now Jezebel, being the mother-in-law, can have a great influence on Jehoram. And as a result, the nation of Judah quickly turned into idolatry. Okay, Jehoram even ended up killing six of Jehoshaphat's son, his own brother, six of them. Okay. And this is the beginning of the bloodshed in the house of Judah. Okay. The interesting thing is all this thing should not have happened if Jehoshaphat would not agree for this union. Okay. He did not need to agree to this. He could have said to his son, well, this woman that you love, this woman that you want to marry is an ungodly woman. She is full of evil. You should not have married her. But Jehoshaphat kept silent. He basically just agreed to that. Now, you may say, well, you know, we said that Jehoshaphat was a man who sort of feared the Lord and followed the law. He must have read Psalm 1:1, where it says, by David, where it says that blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Jehoshaphat know all of these things, and yet he joined in alliance with such an ungodly man. And in fact, Jehoram and Athaliah, this marriage, they produced a son. And this son's name is called Ahaziah. Ahaziah later on took the throne at the age of 22. And the Bible tells us that he walks in the way of Ahab. And Ahaziah, his mother is Athaliah. Okay, so now Athaliah is the court's counsel in Judah. Okay, and this evil woman, he actually destroyed all the seat of the royal throne of Judah. In fact, the Bible tells us that Athaliah, later on, after her son died, she seized the throne for 6 years. I am convinced that today the devil is trying to do exactly the same thing to us. The devil is trying to do everything that he could to cut off the link that we have with Christ. Okay? If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a direct blood linkage to Christ. And you know what? Christ today is trying to bring into your life someone to destroy this linkage so that you will be under the wrath of God. Okay? What the devil is trying to do is to use your ungodly close friends as his agents to destroy your spiritual life. Brothers and sisters, let's think for a moment and examine your friends. The friends that you hang out with. The friends that you you talk to so often in the net. But you say, wait a minute. I don't want to start doubting my friends. I don't want to be suspicious of them. My answer to you is, if they are your true friends, if they are needed to your heart in the spirit of Christ, okay, you have nothing to fear to examine your relationship with them. Okay? And it is better that you examine this relationship in the light of the gospel before you may lose your very soul, just like Jehoshaphat's story. Okay? You need to think about the relationship. Examine those friends and ask these questions. Okay? Are you getting closer to the Lord or to the world by associating with these close friends? Ask yourself honestly. Does your friend gossip, backbite, and speak evil of those other friends? Are they argumentative of the Bible? A continual debater, never coming to the truth. Does he refuse to accept to hear the truth from the Bible when you try to tell him or her? Does he call godly people Pharisee? Do you detect that there is a spirit of rebellion in him or her? Has he or her succeeded in planting unkind thoughts in your mind about other people? Have you joined him in spilling out bitterness? If your friends fit any of these descriptions, you are being drawn farther away from the Lord. You no longer would have the same desire as before to draw close to the Lord, to read the Bible, to meditate on the Bible. You know that the devil has planted, in this case, a person in your life. He has the spirit of Ahab. And the devil sent this friend, ungodly friend, okay, to destroy the work of Christ in you. That's what it is. When I was young, after I was baptized, there was another friend of mine who was also baptized. Okay, he was a few years older than me, and we were very close because we have common interests. We can really share our hearts out, secret things that I would never say to anyone, or he would not, and vice versa. Okay, but later on, he lost interest in pursuing after the Lord. So he did not come to the church meeting anymore. Well, I continue for a number of years. However, I continue to be drawn to him in a very close friendship. And later on, I find myself not coming and coming to the church meeting later on, exactly like my friend, except that he left the church a few years earlier. It was because I've been very close to this friend. Okay? This is a serious thing, brothers and sisters. We need to really examine those people whom we consider to be our pal, our close friends. On the other hand, a true and godly friend will always take the side of God's word. Okay? And your godly friend will not just take your side because you are his friend. Okay? He will give you a godly counsel according to the word of the Lord. Okay? And he will love you enough that he will tell you the truth. In fact, I know that there are some brothers in here who told me that they gang up together and try to make each other accountable each morning to study the word. Let me tell you what, this is a good thing. Okay? You should have friends like this, godly friends who would encourage each other to study and the word of God. Let me tell you, there are three serious consequences, awful consequences, for having ungodly friend, according to this story of Jehoshaphat that we just read. The first awful consequence is you be drawn into somebody else's war, or you be drawn into somebody else's problem to your own regret. Okay? The Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat's kingdom had been peaceful at this time, all this time, okay? Because the fear of the Lord fell upon all the nations of the land, okay? And Judah was enjoying peace. But after Jehoshaphat joined in alliance with Ahab, okay? And Ahab, as we read, persuaded Jehoshaphat to go up to war with the Assyrian, okay? And he answered him. What did Jehoshaphat say? He said, I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in the war. This is the answer of Jehoshaphat to the ungodly King Ahab. Okay? Jehoshaphat willingly gets sucked into this hopeless war, one that God wants to have no part in. Okay? Now, is your close friend full of bitterness, full of hatred, full of anger, full of rebellion, is always persuading a war of some kind to somebody? Is your close friend in some kind of a relationship war, a personal war, a personal dispute, or a family dispute? Are you like Jehoshaphat, helping him and encouraging him in this respect, and that you will eventually suck into your friend's problem? Okay. Whenever you try to extend your comfort and your encouragement to a rebellious friend, okay, you will end up having to take sides. You will oftentimes take sides against the Holy Ghost. And you will make partner, or you will participate in that person's sin. Okay? And in the case of Jehoshaphat, he joined Ahab's war. That's the first thing, the first consequence of having a close, ungodly friend. Okay? You're drawn into the problem of your friend to your own regret. The second awful consequence is that you end up ignoring all warnings from God. You end up ignoring all the warnings from God. If you have an ungodly friend in your inner circle, okay, he'll give you all the reassurance that you need. And even if you're in error, he's not going to say anything. Okay? Your friend will say, go ahead. Everything is all right. God is behind you. Okay? Your friend will lead you to the very brink of destruction. I'm sure that Jehoshaphat was convinced that he was acting righteously when he pledged to join Ahab in war. In fact, Jehoshaphat told Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. In other words, Jehoshaphat, after all, he still knows the Lord. He said, hey, you know, before we go to the war, let us ask the Lord and see what he has to say about it. And then we know the story that Ahab called 400 false prophets. And all the 400 false prophets, they said, it is okay to go to war. God is with you. It's fine. Just go ahead and do it. Okay? Now, Jehoshaphat, who has learned the law of God, he was not so convinced by this 400 prophet. And he, in other words, he still has some kind of a discernment. He asked Ahab this, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides these that I can inquire about this war? And we know that Ahab said, yeah, there's this guy called Micaiah. Okay. But I don't like him, because every time when I ask him about what should I do, he always give me bad news. So I never bothered to ask him that. But Jehoshaphat said, well, no, you better ask this guy to come. And let us listen to what he has to say about this war. Now, when Micaiah showed up on the scene, Micaiah was a true prophet of God. He was fearless of all the mocking around him. Okay? He even prophesied Ahab's death. He said, I beseech all Israel scatter upon the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. In other words, he was saying that you are going to die in battle, Ahab, because Ahab was the shepherd of the sheep of the nation of Israel. Okay? God's people will be scattered over the hills. God made his word very clear to both Jehoshaphat and Ahab, leaving no doubt that this is doomed if you go to war. Okay? But the interesting thing is that you would think that Jehoshaphat seems willing to obey the true prophet's word. He appears to want to do everything God told him to do. And yet, we know that according to the Bible, that's not the case. Jehoshaphat seems to make sense to Micaiah actually seems to make sense to Jehoshaphat's reluctance to obey. Later on, when Ahab asked the God to take Micaiah away, we know that Micaiah said, if you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. Okay? Because they were not ready, they were not willing to listen to Micaiah. And that is why Micaiah said this. If you were indeed return safely, if you can indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, listen, all you people. I am sure that when Micaiah said that, even though he was saying that, listen all you people, his eye was looking straight into the eyes of Jehoshaphat. He was saying to Jehoshaphat, why are you sucking into this war? Listen, this is the word of God. Don't go to that war. But write the next verse. It says in here, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth Gilead. Even though they have heard clearly the word of the Lord, they would not back down, especially Jehoshaphat. We know that King Ahab is a wicked king, so we can forget about him. Okay, but Jehoshaphat, he heard of it, and it's so clearly, and yet he would not listen, even though he heard the truth. But because of his alliance with Ahab, brothers and sisters, he cherished his friendship over and above the commandment of God. He would continue on the path of destruction. This regarding God's warning. Today, many a times we do the same thing. We said that Jehoshaphat is foolish. But you know what? You can boast all you want about loving God's word and wanting to obey it. Okay? But when God tells you clearly what you need to do, would you obey? Or would you still want to show your loyalty to your friend by ignoring God's explicit warning? The problem is your loyal friend is not so loyal after all. Because the Bible tells us that when they are about to go to war, King Ahab, you know, he was a pretty sneaky guy. He said that I would disguise myself and go into battle. And in other words, he would disguise himself. He would take off his kingly robe. He would put on the soldier's uniform. And then he said, Jehoshaphat, you put on your kingly robe and let us go. Okay? So, in other words, the evil king set up Jehoshaphat to be killed. Bottom line, that's what it is. But the interesting thing about this story is, even though the wicked king Ahab set up something like this for Jehoshaphat to fall, and yet God was still overseeing the whole thing. And it was one of the soldiers who randomly shot an arrow that just shot right into between the crack of that soldier's uniform that killed King Ahab. Okay? But then again, the enemy soldiers, they discover Jehoshaphat and mistaken him as the king, and they pursued after Jehoshaphat. Now, at that time, Jehoshaphat, he was so afraid. He cried out to God for help. This is serious business. His life was in danger. So he cried out to God. He said, God, help me, help me. And the Lord indeed was faithful. And the Lord helped him out of that terrible, terrible situation. He got out of that battle. He returned to Jerusalem in one piece. I told you a little bit earlier about my earlier relationship with a friend who has gone away from the Lord. And after a few years, I'd gone away with him. You know what? There was this one incident when my friend, we were going out every time after school, okay? We were very close, and we do band together and so on. And there was this one time, this one weekend, that he said, hey, you know what? We're going to have an outing, some kind of a barbecue out there. You want to come and join? I've been going out with him all these weeks, okay, especially this few couple of weeks. And that one time I said, somehow in my heart there's this urge to say no. I would not know why did I say no, but I said no, you know, I'm going to skip this time. And it was this time when they went out for outing that their car flew over the road into a ditch in the field. And my friend, when he climbed out of the car, his whole sweater was full of blood. He said that when he, you know, took it out, it's all full of blood. Okay. When I heard that, you know, I bowed down before God. I said, God, you protected me. All this time I've been going out with him. And just this one time, and they were scratching their head too. They were saying, hey, this guy, you know, how come he wasn't in the car? Well, I wasn't in the car, and I couldn't even explain. I just would not have the desire at that particular day to go on to that trip. The Lord protected me just the same way as God protected Jehoshaphat in his foolishness to follow a wicked friend. I can imagine the thoughts that must have raced through Jehoshaphat's mind as he hurried back to Jerusalem. He said, oh God, thank you for delivering me. Okay, now I see the danger of walking with the ungodly companion. Never again, Lord, I won't be part of this worldly system anymore. It's over for me. I think that's what's in Jehoshaphat's heart. He said, no, 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 I'm not going to do this kind of stupid thing anymore. But you see, there is a third awful consequence of joining yourself in alliance with God. And that's in chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Okay, Jehoshaphat was on his way home, and the Lord sent a prophet out to meet him. Okay, Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly, love them, and hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. The wrath of the Lord is upon you. It's the third consequence of joining yourself with an ungodly friend. Okay? We know that all this time, all the nations fear the nation of Judah because God was with them. But now, the nations started to rise up to fight against the nation of Judah. Okay. Now, at this point, you may be thinking, well, I understand Ahab was such an evil king, but as I consider my own friends, there's no way I can think of them as God's enemy. Okay. Are you thinking about that? Well, you know, what you're saying doesn't apply to me. Let me ask you three questions, and if you can answer this properly, then you know whether your friend is a problem before God, that you are under the wrath of God. The first thing that you need to consider is the Lord Jesus said in Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me. Okay? Does your friend take the Lord's side in all things? Answer that question. The second question is, as it says in 1 Samuel 15, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Is your friend's counsel full of rebellion? Question number three. He that condemned the just is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 17:15. Does your friend speak evil of godly people? Brothers and sisters, this is not a game. Your friends are serious, serious matter to God because their actions have serious consequences on you. In Jehoshaphat's case, God brought war and trouble to Jehoshaphat, to Judah. Okay, we are told that it come to pass after these that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and all of these nations, they came up against Jehoshaphat in battle. Okay? And that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Up to this time, Judah enjoyed peace until he has this friend called Ahab. Okay? And these nations are now threatening to destroy the nation of Judah. Simply put, the wrath of God is upon the nation of Judah. Okay? It's upon King Jehoshaphat. Do you have a relationship with an ungodly friend that would bring about the wrath of God on your head, brothers and sisters? Because of God's wrath upon Jehoshaphat, the devil now saw the opportunity to destroy him. Okay? Before that, God was his protection. All nations fear him. But now Jehoshaphat was under God's wrath. And that is why all those nations rise up to try to destroy him. They no longer fear Jehoshaphat because he lost it. Okay? But fortunately, we thank God that Jehoshaphat, he feared the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. In other words, the king humbled himself. Finally, Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the face to with his face to the ground. Okay? He sought after the Lord. He finally humbled himself. He said to the Lord, "Yes, I was wrong." And we know that God responded to Jehoshaphat's brokenness by giving Judah a total victory, a complete victory over his enemy. Three consequences. The first one is if you join in alliance with ungodly friend, the first one is you are going to be sucked into their problem, and that to your destruction. The second one is that you will no longer be willing to obey the word of the Lord, just like what Jehoshaphat did. And the third one was that you are constantly under the wrath of God if you will not repent. Let me close with this final warning. And that warning, by the way, is also for me. This matter of choosing friends wisely and cautiously is a lifelong concern. The fact is, you may escape from one unique relationship, but you can jump right into another one. Okay? The scripture tells us Jehoshaphat's story ended tragically. Because if you turn to chapter 20, verse 35. This is after Jehoshaphat learned his lesson. This is after Jehoshaphat vowed to himself that he would never ever go into this kind of ungodly union. If you read verse 35 of chapter 20. And after this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, aligned himself again with Ahaziah, king of Israel. Ahaziah, king of Israel, is the son of Ahab. Okay? He acted wickedly in doing so. You see that? I mean, he just got a terrible lesson. He learned his terrible lesson. He said that, "Wow, yeah, and God saved me, and I thank you." But guess what? Not too long afterward, he aligned himself once again with a wicked king. And so he aligned himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. We'll jump that to verse 37. Okay? And it says, it prophesies in here against him, "Because you have aligned yourself with Ahaziah, the Lord has destroyed your work." The Lord has destroyed your work. In other words, the Lord's spirit left this once godly man because he would not obey. He would not listen. He would not humble himself truly to learn the lesson. Okay? The Bible clearly tells us the matter of friendship. Your friendship with the world is a serious matter to God. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us that do not be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part of a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreements has the temple of God with idol? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters, take a stand today. If you have ungodly friend in your inner circle, that includes, by the way, I want to say this again, that includes those internet friends in the chat room or email or whatever. Okay? Cut those things off. Take a stand for the Lord. Paul encouraged us to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who called upon the Lord with a pure heart. In other words, we need to build up our friendship with those Christians who fear the Lord. And this is something that is of a great reminder to all of us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we once again want to bring our relationship with friends, this issue before you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts to let us see what kind of state we're in terms of the friends that whom we are currently interacting with. Lord, if those friends are not pleasing in your sight, we pray, Lord, that you would give us the obedience, the willingness, to take a firm stand in this matter. And Lord, help us to choose wisely so that, Lord, we will not be under your wrath, so that we will be able to hear your words, so that, Lord, we will be able to grow spiritually in you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.